Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Tonight is our discussion show, and we have our illustrious panel of Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and special guest tonight, substituting for Tom Gould, who could not be with us, Angelina Diana, was gracious enough to join us and be able to give us her perspective as a medium as we talk about breaking through the veil, the pitfalls, the hype, and the truth. And thanks for joining us, Angelina.
Thank you for having me.
And tonight's show is sponsored by Comlock.com. And before we get into the meat and potatoes of tonight's show, Fran will bring us up to date on some announcements.
I'll give you the meat and potatoes of what's happening at Forever Family Foundation. How's that? So the first thing we want to do is always remind our listeners to check the events page regularly on our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org. We do send out emails to our members when we do have an event, but sometimes when the event goes up onto the website, the event fills up right away, and then there's no sense in us sending out an email. So if you want to stay on top of the events, go to the website regularly and just check the events page, and you'll see what's cooking. But to let our listeners know about our free events that are coming up this month, on June 3rd, that's this Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., we have our Afterlife Discussion Group in Miami, Florida. On June 10th, from 2 to 3 p.m., that's Eastern, 11 noon Pacific, because this actually is broadcast out of California. It's our Visionary Explorers Group. It's an online meeting. And again, you can get more information for these two free events on our website. You can also still sign up for our Saturday's webinar with Dr. Pietro Calvi-Parisetti. That's at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. This was originally scheduled on May 13th. It's been rescheduled to this Saturday, June 3rd. He will present Basis for a Rational Belief in Life After Life. And for our listeners, we have a special member-only coupon code for a few free seats that are left. The word is belief, B-E-L-I-E-F. And if you're not a member yet, or you're a member who has not yet satisfied our 30-day waiting period, you can enjoy a half-price seat with this code, Parisetti. And he spells that P-A-R-I-S-E-T-T-I. So remember to sign up now to make sure you have a seat, and maybe even one of those free or half-price seats. Our annual grief retreat is just about filled up with only 6 spots remaining. If you are booking early, keep in mind our no-refund policy. Plan to join us just this July 14th through 16th as one of only 50 guests who come from across the globe to spend a weekend in a beautiful and peaceful setting with like-minded people, all learning that our loved ones are still with us. The weekend is all-inclusive and features spirit communication with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Rebecca Amlo Cicero, Joe Peretta, and Gina Simone, who will be working alongside our other professionals and facilitators. It also includes a variety of activities and small breakout workshops, all designed to heal. Our Holidays Past Raffle 2017 is up and running on our website. Win up to 5 medium readings with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums Renata Santarelli, Renee Buck, Eliza Ray, Catherine Nadal, and Neil Zapowski. The drawing is set for December 23rd. Yep, that's just around the corner. So enter often, as winners are selected randomly by a computer program taken from consecutive numbers that are assigned when you enter. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, Great Nonprofits, and WellZoo. And if you have a business and would like to advertise on this show, please email us at businessmembership@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Back to you, Bob.
Oh, that's it for our show. And
have a good night, everyone.
So, you know, when I said we're talking about breaking through the veil, I mean, obviously we're talking about after-death communication. And I find that, you know, I kind of segment people into different groups when we talk about after-death communication, that there are people that simply do not believe it's possible because they don't believe in an afterlife. And then there are people that do believe in an afterlife, but they believe that only professional mediums are capable of communicating, you know, with the dead. And then there's another group that is open and they would love to have it. They may not have necessarily had communication, but they love to be able to. So, I mean, which leads to an interesting question. If you don't believe in life after death, can you still have an after-death communication? You know, so...
Well, shouldn't we define first what an after-death communication is? Because I think that's a confusing point right out of the beginning.
It's a pretty broad term.
It's a broad term, but people don't know. Our listeners don't all know it's a broad term. They think after-death communication is talking to your loved one on the other side, usually using a medium. They don't understand there's electronic voice phenomena where they can leave a message on your voicemail, or they can imprint their image onto your TV screen. There's a lot of different things that fall into that category of after-death communication.
So you would define an after-death communication as any way in which a person in the physical can communicate in some way, whether that be by thought or electronic means or
visual
dreams and so forth with the dead. Is that the way you would term it, Angelina?
I think so. And I think it's also how those on the other side would communicate with us, too. So I think it's a two-way street. And I think that's a big point that's kind of missed a lot, especially if you're in a position of grieving because you feel helpless or victimized by that loss. So I think it's a two-way street, and I think that even though when you hear after-death communication, it's a broad term, I think I like that sound when you said that, Fran, because that means there's many ways that the other side can communicate with us and we can communicate with them.
Yeah. Melissa, you were going to say?
Well, I was going to say that conversely, or not really, when I felt we had EVP from my father and I shared it with my mother, she said, well, why would he do that if he never believed in an afterlife? And I thought, well, he didn't know until he got there that he could do it.
Right. Well, I think some of the most compelling cases, you know, of after-death communication are from people. I mean, Angelina could probably speak of that. I mean, she might be doing a reading for somebody that walks in, you know, hands crossed and totally silent and not, you know, they're begrudgingly, they don't believe in, you know, maybe their spouse convinced them to come, and all of a sudden, you know, Angelina might give a message that's really, truly compelling and evidential, and it turns them around. I mean, that happens, right, Angelina?
It sure does, and I think that sometimes, I mean, every medium is different, and I think spirit uses everybody, not just mediums, differently, and that even goes when it comes to how someone passes and how they might come to see a medium, or even how they might even learn that there's an afterlife if they've never believed before. But I truly do believe that when someone does sit for the intense purpose to say, well, I want to believe. I had an experience maybe about a month ago where a gentleman came with his wife, and he certainly was a reluctant participant in the beginning. And after Spirit gave evidence, he said, you know, deep down inside, I wanted it to be true. So I do think that even though there are people their mind convinces them this can't be possible because I need to see it to believe it to begin with. And then you have a loss. Even I think the most, you know, not that it, mediums aren't intelligent, but I think we tend to look towards the non-physical spiritual aspects, the fruits of the spirit, where, you know, everyone walking around in everyday life, they're very mind-centric. So they're going to be thinking about, you know, here's a glass, there's a door, I have to open it so I don't crack my head if I walk through it. You know, there's a mind-centric way that people have to exist here. And those mind-centric folks sit down after a loss, and even if they've hardcore said, don't believe it, if spirit comes through in a way that resonates, even if it's not, you know, 100% correct, but there's, to them, it's not correct, but something resonates. And I think that something has a lot to do with how spirit works. They know their loved one. They know that they might be very mind-centric and not ever believing before. And I do believe that when those occasions happen and spirit is at work, I say miracles happen, because those folks, most of us walk around mind-centric, but those hardcore non-believers, at the very least, if they're skeptical versus cynical, because I think there's a big difference. When somebody sits down with very cynically, it's a little more difficult. But if they walk out with that one piece and they follow it, they follow what spirit has given them, then there's an opportunity for them to at least say, hey, you know what? There's something there. It's giving me some hope. I'll follow it and see where it lands. And the other happens too, by the way. I have spirits that come through that didn't believe when they were here, and they come through very uniquely, because they might come through, like I said, every medium works differently. And for me, the way they come through is they tend to come through with this five psychic senses. Let's say if they were very mind-centric, they're going to make me see things in my mind right away. Or if they were a person that had quite a vocabulary and used their mind to form things, they might right off the bat say, you know what, I'm coming through, even though they know I never believed in this. Like, they might just, spirit has said that. So I think that spirit themselves, when they come through and they never believed, will often remark as a validation or evidence, you know, I didn't believe here, but guess what? I'm working with a medium right now. Like, I had a gentleman say that last week. I can't believe I'm working with a medium. Can you believe it's me? You know? And the woman across me goes, he would say that. And right there's evidence.
Right. Well, that's the ultimate gut check. You know, you don't believe in life after death, and then you die, and all of a sudden you go, holy crap. We're going to go to our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this much more. If you wanted to join our conversation, the number is 1-888-627-6008. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com. That's CAMLAK.com for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We've been talking about breaking through the veil. You know, that is an interesting term anyways. I don't particularly like the term, you know, like breaking through the veil. I mean, do you see it as a veil of something has to be broken through? Or do you tend to think of it as just another part of life?
It's in film?
You know, like, or it's another dimension.
From one side of the film and stepping through the other, not film, like movie film, but like that film... How about the surface of water?
I know that a lot of people refer to it as just stepping through a doorway.
Right.
And we also have had that poem by Gabriel Kane, which I think today also is the date of his passing, called The Window, where he describes in this poem how he passes through the window when it goes from one side to the other. So it is almost like a portal.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're conditioned. Like when you start, a lot of people, when you start talking about the afterlife to them, they look up, you know, and they're talking about the love. They look up because, you know, they think of afterlife as way up, you know, in the heavens, in the sky, you know, but then again, your loved one could be an inch from your face, you know, and if you want to talk about, you know, distance, just, you know, how do you view that? You think you like the term veil, Angelina?
Personally, no, I don't. I'm not that crazy about it. I think to me, it's almost like the idea of thought and no thought. It's a heartbeat away to me, the other side. And I think that we exist in our minds. You know, we're, like I said earlier, we're very mind centric, and I think when spirit has shown that sometimes they pass to the other side when they're still, their body is still physiologically beating here. I've done readings on folks where spirits coming through, they're validating names, places, things that the loved one has done with them. And at the end, I'll go, you know, I'm always trying to learn. Your loved one never told me how they passed. And this happened in Long Island, actually. A woman said to me, oh, my mother hasn't passed. She's at stage 4 Alzheimer's. And I just visited her at the hospital yesterday and been wondering if she's known what I've been doing around the house. And you just validated everything. So, you know, think of someone who has, you know, deep Alzheimer's. They're not mind-centric here, are they? You know, they're somewhere else in our eyes. But I believe because their mind is shut off, their spirit gets grander. You know, conversely, we walk around mind-centric here, and our spirit, people have a little deja vu here or a little psychic moment there. But when somebody is passing, I believe there's a transition, and it's a very comfortable one, where the second that brain shuts off or even is starting to go have necrosis or die, the spirit gets grander. It's unleashed. So to me, it's not a veil. It's an actual, well, in our minds, it's a choice why we can use our minds. But I believe once the mind is released from the body, it's freedom. So there's no veil. It's for those listening, if you really want to learn to connect with your loved one, it's truly a heartbeat away. Shut off your mind for a while. Have a conversation with them, even though grief can be victimizing. Try to be conversing with them, you know, or have moments where you honor your grief and then breathe and then step into their world because they're right there. That's what I believe.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we talk about, I agree with you. I think also when you come to terms of veil or a barrier, right, a lot of that has to do, in my opinion, you know, with organized religion, who like to say things like there's a barrier between life and death and we're not really meant to cross that barrier, you know. And I know people have said that to us. I'd be surprised if they did to you as a medium. I don't know if people may have some deep religious connection, so then they feel. Although if they did, they wouldn't be coming to you in the first place.
No, I have to.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I was going to say I have a nunnery that I read about every 3 months. In Hartford, yeah. I get a call from these group of nuns who kind of sneak me into their place and past the priests, and I do a circle spirit communication and. They're Roman Catholic, and they frankly say, look, you know, from the outside in, you know, our religion is very ritualistic and legalistic, but they frankly say that in their opinion, you know, Christ was not legalistic. He actually was against the Pharisee, and they think all the rules are out the door, even though they wouldn't admit it to the priest. But they said, look how the rules have helped the priests. I mean, they're quite frank, you know, that doesn't help them. And that they're very open to this idea of spirit. And, you know, in their view, Christ is a spirit. You know, he once walked this earth, but now he has a presence. And they feel that at least these group of six nuns purely feel that if they can be moved by one spirit, they can be moved by other spirits. People that have become spirit, you know. So yeah, I agree that some religious organizations can be legalistic or ritualistic, but within that same faction, there are the same that believe that spirit is spirit. And I think it's, again, you know, when you think of legalism and rules, it's a product of the mind, isn't it? And that's also what keeps us away from connecting to spirit. So,
yeah. Well, I always thought of it as when I get into those discussions, and you know, I would differ from when people say that we're not meant to. Right. I would twist it around and say maybe that is our purpose in life. Maybe we are meant to find ways to thin that divide, you know, and gain entrance into those other, you know, realms. I mean, that maybe that's the true, people talk, what's the meaning of life? Maybe that is the meaning of life.
To me, it's returning to your roots, because if you think back to when we first all arrived here on the face of the earth, we didn't even have language to communicate with each other. So we had to communicate telepathically. We had to get guidance from someplace to know how to protect ourselves from predators, how to find our food. We had to be in communication in some telepathic fashion from the beginning. And to me, it's just a matter of we're coming full circle now. We have to learn that. We have to go back, and we have to reignite that ability to glean guidance from the sources that we were meant to glean guidance from.
Right. I think that foremost in people's minds when we get on subjects like this of, you know, of communication, you know, with the other side, people want to know how can I increase my ability or chances of having those communications, and how important is meditation, you know, in the training? I mean, would you say that that would be a good place for people to start, Angelina, if they are looking to cultivate some sort of ability to have their own communications?
Well, I think it's a place to start. And again, I think we're getting into words when I think we all meditate anyway. I once worked with a colleague that would use that word, and it would intimidate a lot of people to think, oh, I can't meditate, so that means I'll never hear from my loved one. But I think if we can do the idea of physical world non-physical, I have a brain, and I have this ability to think of, I have to pay my bills, and then I have the fruits of the spirit. I have love, patience, kindness, forgiveness, all these things. I think that's where meditation, if you want to use that word, lives, this idea of creating contentment, peace, and joy. It may be fleeting while we're in our physical bodies, because I think, you know, the world is hard out there, and I certainly subscribe to what Fran was speaking about, that there was a time that it wasn't about the world. It was about really communicating and surviving within a pack of people, and that's why language isn't important. So meditation, that word meditation, can certainly help, but I think it's only the tip of the iceberg. That sounds like you have to be up on a, you know, in a robe with your hair flowing, you know, up on a mountain, and, you know, it to me, just putting yourself in the fruits of the spirit, the idea of, yes, I feel pain from my grief, and it hurts, and that's my physiological body, and I cried it out, but now I'm going to tune into the purpose. You know, we spoke about purpose a few moments, right? This idea of, okay, my loved one's not here, that hurts me, it's horrible, but there was a purpose as to why they walked this earth. And if I can take that purpose and infuse it into this place, the non-physical place of where patience live, where kindness lives, yes, where forgiveness lives, and it's hard to forgive when you've lost someone. But if you can go to that place and tune into it and say, all right, my loved one was an artist, and maybe I'm not, but maybe I'll tune into their artistry and go there. And that's meditation, going there, going within, and going into the beautiful things about them. Maybe they were a person here who, maybe they weren't beautiful in what they've done. You know, maybe they didn't live a good life here, and that's what you're dealing with in your grief, but you saw beauty in them. Well, now you have a chance. Your purpose now is to live that out as if they were doing those nice things, or finding that rhythm of energy of who they were to make it somehow be physical. But that's meditation to me, in a way. You're going within, and you're honoring the fruits of the spirit versus the physiological mind that says, I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm grieving, which, by the way, never goes away. You just learn to manage it through the years. So the long answer is, yeah, meditation. However, I think there's a natural process. We don't have to become the yogi on the mountain with the hair flowing. We can actually take a purposeful thing of our loved one and infuse it within that place where we feel love. You know, if you know chakras, if you don't, but they're spinning wheels of energy in your body, you can go to the heart chakra and go to the personal power chakra, which is in your stomach. You know, when you get bad news, you feel like you got kicked in the gut. Well, you can go there and you can say to yourself, I feel kicked in the gut. But when were there times with you that I miss you so much that I didn't feel kicked in the gut? Oh, yeah. Remember when we went to the planetarium and we laughed and we had all this fun? And you bring yourself to that spot. That's like meditation, is it not? You know, going, but what you're doing is you're infusing the fruits of the spirit, that person's fruit, that the goodness or the potential of their goodness, to help you go deeper than I'm going to be a clear plane of glass right now and try to reach you, you know, which is TM, transcendental meditation. Does that make sense? You know, you're taking an aspect of them.
I agree that when, you know, a lot of people, when I talk about meditation, they may read a formal meditation in a book and they follow that, and then their mind wanders and they do it 2-3 times and they give up.
Right.
I agree with you. There's a reason why people feel inspired when, let's say, they're walking in the woods, or when they are listening to a piece of beautiful music, or they're looking at a painting. Or even at a movie, you know. I mean, they walk out, and why are they inspired? Because their conscious mind is put aside. They're making a connection, as Angelina was referring to a greater, you know, universe, and those are all forms of meditation. So you don't have to sit there like a yogi and look at the candle. And I mean, and I'm guilty of that too. I've read, you know, all the meditation books and try it a few times, and I can't control my mind. And
that's the thing. You have to get yourself out of your mind, actually.
Right. Well, that's easy.
But think of this. You know, think about, you know, it's one thing to walk in the woods, and, you know, get that peaceful feeling. Peace is one of the fruits of the spirit. But wouldn't it be even more interesting if you find a piece of that loved one's spirit, something, a quality or something that you wish they had achieved here or that they did achieve here, and you sit with that for a moment, and then you hear from spirit, go for a walk in the woods. And then you go in the woods and you find not just a sign, but you start to sense a conversation forming. Because I think that's the biggest distinction I find from doing this work for now, gosh, 16 years. I still can't believe it. But for 16 years, and people come to me and their biggest question is, you know, besides, you know, do they watch me when I shower? The next question is, how can I get more signs? And I said, well, you can get signs, but how would you like to get more conversations? You know, and to me, it's the difference between, yeah, they liked pennies, send me a penny, and you get that penny, and for a moment you get, oh, okay, you're okay. And then you go back into your everyday life, you go in, sadly, probably deeper into grief. But if you take a moment and you dissect from within the gifts of the spirit, again, patience, kindness, love, forgiveness, mercy, self-control, these beautiful things that, like Fran said, we were born with and didn't need a language to express, we go within our own and kind of like attach within ourselves that person's spiritual, as I like to call it, spiritual DNA, attach it and be within it and go, okay, what do you want me to do with that? Like, all of a sudden it's a deeper thing than just a penny, a song on the radio, a feather. It becomes a uniqueness to that person that if you follow that versus now I'm meditating, it must mean I need to ask you for a sign, because that's what I ask you for a sign. I got this penny, but I don't know what that means. Like, that's, you know, but however, if you go within And you're like, okay, you used to like to listen to this song. Why am I hearing a different song all of a sudden? You're sending me this song now? Okay. Or like what my mother did a year ago. She sent me an orange, and I'm going, what the heck is orange? I don't know what orange means. And then an hour later, at my front door was a crate of oranges from my dad. He's a snowbird in Naples, you know? And I'm like, at that moment, I'm like, wow, that was pretty cool. You know, I went within the essence of my mom. And within an hour, she let me know that she was watching me and she knew what my dad was up to. So, yes, meditation is great. I think taking it to a more spiritual DNA, what were their gifts, what are my gifts, can bring about conversations. It'll take you to places where they're suggesting through hearing, seeing, or feeling, where all of a sudden a story is unfolding and you're having a conversation with them versus thanks for the penny, thanks for the song on the radio.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the first step is people have to be open to it, and then they have to trust it, you know, because like you hear a lot, well, I heard my loved one, I had a thought implanted in my head, but how can I be sure it was them? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I know that it wasn't my conscious interpretation, or I was making it up because I want it, you know?
And I think that's why people enjoy going to mediums like Angelina, because you think you're not confident of your thought. You don't know if you're making it up, but if somebody else tells it to you, then it's easier to believe.
A professional.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I think Angelina's point is well taken in that we've become a society that's so fixated with material things that we're saying, I need a sign, I need a penny, I need a dime, I need a feather, I need a bird, I need a this. Angelina's saying, no, it's the other way around. Their validation is the penny, is the sign, is the bird, it's the other way around.
And even if you think of it, I agree with you somewhat, Melissa, when you say you want to get the confirmation because your mind is questioning it. But isn't it more fantastical and more of a personal thing? Like if a medium said to me, hey, oranges, do you understand oranges? And at that moment, I'd be like, no. but the fact that I engaged first, I think that's the key here is, yes, you're right, Bob. Trust, but me having the conversation first. Grief makes us want to lay back, like I said earlier, and say, send me the sign. But if we engage first and we become part of the conversation versus just watching the magical thing that the other side can do, but we're in part of it, we're part of it, and we then have the conversation from within. Like maybe people don't recognize that if you let your mind go and you allow your grief, yes, it's real, but you allow it to float away for just a minute and you allow the fruits of the spirit to act like a magnet and you have a conversation with your loved one and you sit quietly and you hear orange or you hear go for a walk or do you remember when we did this, like a memory like you haven't thought of for a while, and you trust that because that's a personal thing only between you and that loved one. And then you trust it because of the love. You trust it because of the kindness of it. You trust it because you decided, I am going to be a person in the conversation, not just wanting them to make me feel happy. I'm going to have the conversation with them. And you trust that love. And you step out and go on that love walk and go, okay, you told me orange. I don't know what it means. But I had that moment where I felt you, heard you, saw you from within. I know our love. I know our connection. I'm going to trust that. And then when orange happens, it's almost like this wake-up call of, oh, so when you come to me, Mom, you're going to make me hear things. Because I remember when I was a little girl, I would say to you, Mom, hey, what's new? And she'd go, every day. She'd give me a one-word answer. So, of course, Mom, you're going to come through and go, orange, one word. Ah, it makes sense. Then it becomes layered. You go, okay, so you told me orange, and you always give me one-word answers. And, of course, My dad is Italian. You always had your eye on him. So of course you're going to let me know in the message with one word that you're keeping your eye on dad, because you knew he was sending me oranges. So you start building this trust with that one word, became a conversation. Yes, it's layered. It takes time. It takes patience. But once you start doing these, I call them spiritual anchors. You gave me that word. I see that. There's a breadcrumb. I follow it. There's something else. Oh, you told me you were going to give me the support. Somebody came through and said support the way you would give it to me. Thank you for that, Mom. You start acknowledging spirit. Then it isn't that spirit shows up more. It shows up more in your life because you trust it. And as you trust it, the message becomes clearer, because it's, yes, you said this, I trust you, and oh, look at that. That's the second part of what you were going to tell me, because there's all the evidence. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. I appreciate what you said to Melissa about having a medium there, but I want everyone to know that what makes mediums mediums is not because we're special. It's because the love you have, or the desire that you have to sit in front of a stranger and go, I trust you. Tell me my loved one's here. That's that. You're giving me trust and you don't know me. How about giving your loved one trust? You know them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it's true. And I'm honored when people read me, because they are opening up parts of their life that, spirit's so amazing. I did a radio reading the other day, and there's like literally 1,000 people like on Facebook going, read me, read me, read me. And this name stuck out, and I went, Tony from Springfield. There must be a Tony from Springfield. And then the girl on the radio goes, yes, there is. She goes, yeah. I go, he's just telling me to go in your backyard. He'll be there. And the radio host said, he's buried there? I go, no. There's something there from Tony. And I got an email later from the woman. She went in her backyard and she found, dug in the background, in the backyard, a metal box. And in it was a note. And it said, I'm always with you. Love, Tony. And there was also a booty, because they had lost a daughter. And unfortunately, he took his life. But aww, we look at that. It's very sad, but it's very affirming for her, because she woke up that morning going, you have to give me something. You have to give me something, something physical. Now, I didn't know that.
Right.
There's 1,000 people, like, you know, writing there. So she started the conversation, not the medium. That's my point.
Right.
She started by saying, Tony, give me something physical. The power is in the person that's grieving, not the medium.
That's a good explanation. We're going to have to take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stay with us.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Does consciousness survive death? Can technology be used to interact with the deceased? Can hearing from the dead heal the living? At the Wind Bridge Institute, we are working to answer these and similar questions. Through our studies with certified research mediums, we are examining psychic abilities and communication with the other side, offering insights into the limitless nature of consciousness and unlocking the possibilities of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Be a part of it. Become a WindBridge member today. Please visit www.windbridge.org to learn more.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're here, Angelina, Diana, and Fran, and Melissa, and I'm Bob, and we're talking about breaking through the veil and after-death communication. I'd like to touch on dreams. You know, a lot of people tell us that they feel very fortunate to have their loved ones, their deceased loved ones, come to them in dream visits, and yet we also get contacted by a lot of people that say, how come my loved one never comes to me in a dream? So the question would be whether or not there are things people can do to foster these dreams, you know, to help facilitate the communication, maybe help the person in spirit along. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Well, as you know, I had created a dream spray, which I, you know, combining essential oils and that I thought would be conducive, and I've been using it every night since created it, and every night I have to say the people I gave it to, shared it with, did not report that they had dreams of their loved one, and I guess because I don't want to risk myself finding out my potion isn't that powerful, I just ask for interesting and wonderful dreams, and I've been getting them. And I ask, and I spritz my pillow, and I ask, and I get. So maybe I should take that next step and really ask one of my loved ones. I'll report that next month.
When you make the potion, do you put an intent into it?
I do.
Well, that, you know, potions aside, I mean, I would think that intent or an invitation or asking your loved one would be the most important. You know, maybe that message gets through to the other side.
But so often our the attendees at some of our events, they report. Someone at our last afterlife discussion group actually was in tears hearing somebody else's dream and said, why have I never gotten a dream? And it had been apparently, you know, over a decade of since her loss.
And you know what I've noticed, because I speak to a lot of people on the phone, that, and I can make a correlation from the people who claim that they don't get dream visits are also people who either stay up late at night, don't get a restful sleep.
Yeah.
You know, so
you've
got to go to sleep rested. There's that wonderful little time when you're first falling asleep and when you're first waking up that there seem to be the best visits ever. But if you're not going to sleep rested, you're not waking up rested either.
And you're waking up to an alarm.
Right.
Well, you're changing.
I would imagine that people go to sleep taking ayahuasca would have a lot of dreams. That
yeah.
What do you think? Can people help facilitate communication through dreams, or is there anything that you would recommend they do?
Well, I'm totally on board with what Fran said. I do believe it's really a reflection of the griever on some level, whether or not they've had a dream visit or not, or even just a reflection on how their mind works. I mean, I'm not a scientist, so I can't give you a definitive reason on how someone's mind works that they do or do not get a dream. But the way that I liken it to, and again, subscribing to what Fran said, because I truly believe that, I'd like to think of it as the process of, it's not a, because the first thing that hits my heart when I hear a client say, oh, they've never come to me, they take it as a personal affront, like my loved one won't visit me. And I often look at them and I go, did you ever consider the fact that you're visiting them? Think about the process of what you're doing. When you go to sleep, you're shutting down your physical world, which is more or less a form of meditation on some level, right? So if you think about the process, first of all, when I'm going to go to bed tonight, I'm going to visit my loved one. It isn't a matter of them coming to me. They're already here. That's why when I say to some clients, that's why a lot of people report, I have a spirit sitting in my bed in the middle of the night or just when I wake up, subscribing to what Fran said, that there's certain phases of sleep that you're so deep that you're not really aware of your physical surroundings. So I say you see them with your spiritual eyes, not your physical eyes. So there are some things that you can do to amp up your grief life, your dream life. And I do believe, I like to really subscribe this a lot to folks that maybe are having a hard time walking in the physical world because they're grieving so terribly. And they say, well, I'm not sleeping well. And I said, well, you have a choice. You know, you can say to yourself, if I have to devote my physical life to grieving during the day and taking care of my physical things, give yourself a gift and devote some time to your spiritual life. And what you can do, like Fran suggested, is take moments in your physical space to say, okay, let me shut the computer or the television off an hour before I go to bed. I like the idea of what Melissa said, that there are some things that you can physically kind of set into motion. You know, she's got a great dream spray, maybe a lavender bath. You know, the smell of lavender is very relaxing. Baking soda also in that bath might kind of calm you and cleanse you and even give you a little bit of a cleansing of your physicality too. But just classically train yourself. Lights down. Not eat anything after 6:30. That's a good one because your mind, you have a physical life dream of you're flying naked with your teeth coming out, you know, if you eat strange food before you go to bed. So eat well, lights down, dream spray or lavender is a great smell. It classically trains you to say, I'm ready to slumber. And then I say to my clients, anything that's lingering physically will be waiting for you in the morning. Trust me. You can lock them away in your mind's eye in a black box with a key and say, it's waiting for me then because I love my loved one so much that I am going to set aside this spiritual time to visit them when I go to bed at night. And then, you know, and then as you sleep, you just really pose a question to them or set yourself in a place like, for me, I'm always in my mother's kitchen. Okay, Mom, I'm coming over. You're going to make me that dark, strong coffee I don't like, but your food is fantastic. What are you cooking for me? You know, and then I'll be there, you know, and I really highly recommend that. And
well, that's good advice. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but that's
sorry.
Like the concept of like injuries, or, you know, going to visit them instead of going to visit you. Matter of fact, the people in spirit will wake up and they'll say, "I saw an apparition last night." Thank you, Angelina. For those, Angelina Diana, of course, you know she's a certified medium with Forever Family Foundation, and you could reach her at her website, angelinadiana.com. Thank you, Angelina. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for having me. Take care.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Max Javitt, Lynn LeClaire, Ed O'Brien, Bob Stahl, Sandy Rabel, Eddie Koons, Linda Ellis, Evelyn Ingram, Cynthia Post, Helen Montalto, Michael Tim, David Haith, Glenna Irwin, Marianne Pierzga, Stanley Mullen, Donna Mello, James Rafferty, Diane Archangel, Isabel Ginsburg, Vince Mattia, Lauren Ramnath, Rich LeBly, Veronica James, Alex Hanna. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it. Good night, everyone.